Good morning. We will call the July 5th, 2023 meeting of the Board of Directors of the Eastern Municipal Water District to order. We always begin our meetings with our Pledge of Allegiance, and I will ask Director Slauson if he'd like to lead us this morning in our Pledge of Allegiance.
All right, if you'd like to join me and salute to our flag, I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would like to ask the Board Secretary if she could read the virtual participation suggestions and how to do that, and then take the role of the Board, please.
Absolutely. The guidelines for virtual participation in EMWD Board meetings are as follows. To avoid creating acoustic feedback, please mute all your devices during the meeting unless you are speaking. Before speaking, please unmute your device and turn down the volume of any other devices that are near you and tuned into the meeting. If you have joined by phone and would like to comment on an item, please press *9 to let our staff know and wait to be notified. When it is your turn to speak, you will hear a notification asking you to unmute your phone by pressing *6. If you have joined by computer, you may use the chat feature in Zoom to indicate your desire to speak. When done speaking, please mute your device again. Please participate from a quiet environment so that the Board can hear you when you are speaking. And we will do roll call now. President Pauley?
Here.
Director Slauson?
Here.
Director Armstrong?
Here.
Director Record?
Here.
Our legal counsel is present, and Director Corona is absent.
Thank you very much. I'll ask the Secretary if there is anybody wishing to do public comment today on any item not on the agenda.
Not that I'm aware of.
Very good. We'll go to item 2 this morning, which is a public hearing. This is the time and place for a duly noticed public hearing regarding the adoption of a resolution establishing a schedule of water infrastructure availability assessment and sewage and waste infrastructure availability charges for the fiscal year 2023 through 2024. I now declare this public hearing open and would like to ask for a staff report on this proposed item. Good morning.
Good morning, President Pauley and members of the Board. My name is Matthew Bates. I'm the District's Director of Engineering Support Services. Before I begin, I wanted to thank staff for their efforts this year in completing these assessments on time and ahead of schedule. And we do have some staff members here if any of the members of the public have questions. Before today, I'll provide a brief overview of the district's infrastructure availability program. The district first initiated the Water Infrastructure Availability Program assessment in 1966 and expanded it to include the general district and 16 water improvement districts. The Water and Wastewater Service Availability Charge was initiated in 1968 and was expanded to include 20 sewer improvement districts. In the past, these assessments will be submitted to the county tax assessor and will be collected annually together with general taxes. Last fiscal year, approximately $6 million were collected through the infrastructure availability assessment from approximately 254,000 parcels. For the upcoming year, a total of approximately 2,400 mailings were sent out to property owners whose properties benefit through annexation or pipeline extensions. Recognizing that the infrastructure availability assessment program is complex, staff maintain posted frequently asked questions on the district's website as a resource to the public. Public and Governmental Affairs also provides a brief explanation of these assessments in the April and December utility bill. Infrastructure availability assessments have been carefully reviewed and found to comply with the provisions of Proposition 218 as they were in place before November 6, 1996, and are exclusively to finance capital costs or maintenance and operations expenses for water and sewer systems. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any board questions at this time? All right. I'd like to ask the Secretary of the Board how this hearing was noticed.
Notice of the public hearing was published on June 12th and June 26, 2023, in the Press Enterprise, a newspaper circulated within the district's service area. Additionally, a notice of hearing was posted in the office of the district.
If the Secretary of the Board has received any written protest to the proposal, I'd like her to provide copies to the Board at this time.
No written protest to the proposal have been received.
Thank you. Since members of the public have been invited to participate in this hearing by phone, I'd like to ask if any members of the public who would like to comment on this item do so at this time. Do we have any?
We do not.
We do not. Do we have any members of the public in the chambers here? See none. With that, I will officially declare the public hearing closed. At this time, we are ready to adopt the following resolution, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Eastern Municipal Water District electing to adopt a resolution establishing a schedule of water infrastructure availability assessments and sewage and waste infrastructure availability charges for 2023-2024, and I will look for a motion.
Motion
by Director Armstrong.
Second
by Director Record. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
And that passes 4-0 with Director Corona absent. The resolution we have just adopted elects Eastern Municipal Water District to establish a schedule of water infrastructure availability assessments and sewage and wastewater infrastructure charges for the fiscal year 2023. With that, we will return to our agenda, and item 3 is our general manager's report. Good morning, Mr. Mawad.
Good morning, President Pauley, members of the board. Hope you all had a wonderful 4th of July yesterday, and wanted to share with you some highlights of activities since our last board meeting. My report is included in your packet. Under new and ongoing items, on June 27th, the Metropolitan Board held a workshop to discuss climate adaptation master plan for water. And specifically, Metropolitan has been engaging not only with the board members, but with the member agencies, general managers, to better understand the long-term strategic needs of Southern California when it comes to climate adaptation. I had the opportunity to participate on a panel along with four other general managers and shared our efforts at EMWD relative to our climate action plan, as well as our various initiatives in enhancing, maximizing our local water resources. But I also emphasize that we've always relied on MET, and we will always be part of the Metropolitan family. And to that end, I did share with the work group that back in 1951, Eastern joined Metropolitan, and over decades, we supported Metropolitan's investment in water supply resiliency and reliability when we saw growth occur in the L.A. Basin, in San Diego, and in Orange County. Now, growth has shifted to Riverside County, and we would hope that Metropolitan continues to provide those necessary investments to reliably serve Southern California, not just for those who are maintaining or reducing the reliance on MET, but for those agencies like us and others who are, in fact, growing. This process at MET will extend through the next year through a series of board workshops and general managers meeting. We did provide responses to questionnaires, providing more detailed information about Eastern and our long-term water supply resiliency efforts. The next step is Metropolitan staff will be developing a framework for a decision-making model. Essentially, all of this eventually will lead to a series of decision points that the Metropolitan Board is going to have to make relative to long-term strategic investments. And how is that going to fold into a business model is going to also be an important part of the conversation at MET. So we will keep you aware of the progress being made at MET. We're also planning to bring an item to our board in August, informational item, to share with you details about the Climate Adaptation Master Plan and answer any questions that you may have. Next, I wanted to share with you an update on the Riverside County proposed wildlife refuge legislation. As you're aware, last year, the proposed legislation was not enacted, and we have been engaged with Congressman Calvert and Senator Feinstein's office, and they are both planning to introduce respective bills to propose, again, a new wildlife refuge boundary in Western Riverside. And we have had an opportunity last week to engage with the Riverside Conservation Authority, as well as other water agencies in our service area, or I should say within our region. And it was a good, fruitful conversation. RCA has made a tremendous effort to accommodate our needs at Eastern. They have, in fact, revised the proposed boundary of the wildlife refuge area to exclude existing and future EMWD facilities. And we're very appreciative of the RCA's proposed efforts. We're going to continue working with the other agencies, and we're going to continue to support Congressman Calvert and Senator Feinstein's staff to get the legislation pushed ahead. They are hoping that this legislation will get passed sometime this year. So as the bill is the bills are introduced and moves forward, we will keep this board aware of the status. Next, I wanted to share with you that on June 26, elected officials from not only Eastern, but also Western, Rancho, and Elsinore Valley met. And the new name of the group is the Southwest Riverside County Water Alliance, as it was proposed. And again, the purpose of this group, which was formed a year ago, is to look at regional water resiliency initiatives. And as you may recall, part of this effort was to identify what is it that we can potentially consider on a region-wide basis that would help us meet our future needs from a water supply resiliency perspective. And three concepts were identified. One is a potential ocean desalination facility somewhere in the vicinity of Camp Pendleton. Another is stormwater capture and recharge along the Santa Ana River. And third is conjunctive use via groundwater recharge when there is surplus water available based on hydrology. So all three concepts are being looked at. In fact, our team has led the effort with our consultant to define what is the incremental next steps in this initiative. And we have put forward a plan, including a proposed MOU with the three other agencies. So we would like to come back to this board on July 19th, hopefully if we can get the MOU reviewed by legal, by all four agencies in time. But the idea is that we would come back to the board with a proposed MOU among the four agencies and a proposed plan to advance the planning efforts for each one of those concepts that I mentioned. It was a really good, robust discussion, a lot of good input from the electeds, a lot of good discussion. And I feel that we're making progress in defining what is our water future looking like, at least for Western Riverside County. Under items of interest to the board, I mentioned last time that we were working very closely with Supervisor Gutierrez's office on additional ARPA funding, and I'm very pleased to report to you that on June 27th, the County Board of Supervisors approved an additional $4.7 million of ARPA funding for District 5 in support of EMWD projects, and specifically an additional $3 million for the San Jacinto Valley Groundwater Treatment Facility, $1.5 million for Well 37 facility, as well as a pipeline, an additional $255,000 for the Mission Canyon 1 pipeline. We very much appreciate Supervisor Gutierrez's efforts. In fact, we're planning on issuing a press release, including a quote from Supervisor Gutierrez. But in addition, I'm pleased to also report that we've been having fruitful conversations with the county staff and Supervisor Jeffries. And we're very close to bringing forward an agreement to this board for an additional $5.8 million of ARPA funding for the proposed Highway 74 sewer. So hopefully, in the first meeting of August, sometime in August, we'll be able to bring that agreement forward for your consideration. And finally, I wanted to share with you that, as you're aware, we've had a long-standing priority of being a CalSTAR CalVP agency, and this is a result of our long-standing commitment to safety and a safety culture at EMWD. For over 24 years, we've been certified by Cal OSHA as a CalVPP agency, and the recertification process occurs every 3 years, and we've been working with the Cal OSHA team, and we are scheduled to have them on site sometime in October, where they will go through our safety procedures, our protocols, our safety programs, interview staff, visit our many facilities, look at our construction programs. They will do an in-depth safety, essentially, audit of EMWD and our programs. We will be provided a report from that on-site visit within 30 days of the visit, and we'll have 90 days to address all the the feedback and the comments. So we're very much looking forward to it. And again, we're very much, as you're aware, committed to the safety of our employees and the safety of the public. So we're looking forward to the triennial recertification process. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Any questions for Director Armstrong?
Yeah, I just want to make an additional comment on the Metropolitan Workshop on the climate adaptation. And I thought it was a really good workshop. And having those five general managers from the different member agencies, and it was sort of a sampling of member agencies, very different agencies, each one of them, and have them sort of weigh in and hear what their challenges are and their perspectives are was really, really helpful. But I would just want to compliment Joe. I think Joe was probably the most effective general manager in conveying our agency's positions and needs. And he really did a good job of saying, this is the way I heard it, Joe, was Eastern and Riverside has been here for Metropolitan when L.A. grew. We were here when Orange County grew. And we were here when San Diego grew. And we need all of those counties to be here for us while we're starting to grow as well. And it was really effective. You could see other board members listening, nodding and agreeing. I even had one board member afterwards lean over to me and say, wow, we share that in common. I didn't even know that. And it wasn't even a Riverside agency. So I thought you did a fantastic job,
Joe. Thank
you, Dr.
Armstrong.
It was very, very effective.
I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Laura, good morning. I understand you have an introduction to make this morning.
Yes, I do. Good morning, President Pauly and directors. I'm very pleased to introduce our new Director of Human Resources, Jennifer Dancho. Jennifer Dancho has over 16 years of public sector human resources experience, including recruitment, employee training, employee relations. what else? Performance management, benefits, employee wellness, payroll, workers' compensation, safety, and risk management. Most recently, Jennifer served as the Director of Human Resources for Elsinore Valley Municipal Water District, having previously been promoted through the ranks as Human Resources Technician through Human Resources and Safety Manager. Jennifer obtained her Bachelor's of Science in Business Administration with a concentration in Human Resources Management from the University of Redlands. Jennifer is extremely well-regarded and known for being a collaborative, engaged leader with a reputation of approaching issues with an open attitude and caring deeply for the welfare of staff. Jennifer is passionate about human resources and enjoys being part of a team that strives to provide excellent services to employees. Jennifer lives in Temecula with her two children and enjoys spending time with her family and their many pets. So please join me in welcoming Jennifer Dancho. Thank you.
Well, welcome. Good morning.
A lot to say. I just want to say thank you. I'm excited to be here, and I'm very much looking forward to working with you all.
All right. Well, welcome. Thanks. Anything else this morning, Laura?
Nothing else. Thank you.
All right. Nick, what do you have for us this morning?
Nothing for me this morning. Thank you.
I just want to say good job on the meeting last week with the four other agencies, because I know that we are driving a lot of that ship, and I think it's going the right direction. So
thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Matt?
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. Just wanted to briefly let you know that our permit allows us to do river diversions through the end of June, which obviously passed last week. So we shut down the river diversion at Grant. We totaled 3,668 acre feet for the year, which is a good record over there. And we're now shifting our efforts. We're focusing our efforts on Saboba Recharge, which continues and currently at 4,885 acre feet. So far for the year.
Very good. Any questions for any of the assistant general managers? Very good. We'll go to our consent calendar this morning. Does any member of the board wish to have a separate vote or a separate item for discussion? Seeing none, I'll look for a motion.
I'll move approval.
Motion by Director Slauson, second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote, please? Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Beckard?
Aye.
That passes 4-0 with Director Corona absent. It'll take us to our action calendar. Item 5A is to approve and authorize 2 one-year agreements and up to 4 one-year renewals for the purchase of Polymars and Polydine Incorporated and Solentis Limited Liability Corporation in a combined full term not to exceed a total of $13 million. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Thank you, President Pauley and members of the board. Before I begin, I would like to introduce our representatives from both Salinas and Polydime. We have Dane Marcelletti from Salinas.
Good. Thank you for being here this morning.
And we have Cesar Curl from Polydime.
Thank you for being here this morning. Appreciate it.
So as President Pauley mentioned, for consideration by the board this morning are two contracts for the purchase of polymer. Polymer is used in the wastewater treatment process for thickening and dewatering operations. It is our second highest chemical cost here at the district. I believe sodium hypochlorite is still number one. The performance of polymer, the cost of polymer, if you will, or the benefit of the polymer that is used goes beyond the cost of the product itself. It impacts operational costs primarily with regard to biosolids hauling and dewatering processes. So with that, there's quite a rigorous process that's involved in the testing and the decisions of which polymers to use at different facilities. That testing goes on over a period of weeks, and what we're doing is looking for the total overall operational cost of the various products by process and by facility. So it's quite an involved process over multiple weeks to arrive at the solutions that work best at each process and at each facility. So both Polydyne and Salinas participated in this process for the renewal of these contracts, and both are recommended for award as reflected in the table in your board packet. The cost of polymer, as with most chemicals, has risen considerably over recent years, and staff compared that pricing against current contracts as well as those with other agencies and found the proposed prices to be consistent with current market conditions. Pricing under these contracts is to remain fixed over the first year of the contract with subsequent adjustments connected with the CPI or other market-based indicators. So with that, it is recommended that the board approve and authorize two contracts, one with Polydyne, the other with Salinas, in the combined five-year total not to exceed $13.1 million. With that, I would be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions on this item? No. I'll look for a motion. Director Record would like to make the motion on it. Director Armstrong can second it. Thank you both for attending our meeting this morning and your business. Dan, great presentation. I'll look forward to I'll ask for a roll call vote.
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
That passes 4-0 with Director Corona absent. Item 5B is to approve and authorize a contract with James W. Fowler Company for $4.9 million under specification 1494S, Diaz Sewer Modification Project, an additional appropriation amount of $6.4 million. Good morning, Mr. Stone.
Good morning, President Pauley and members of the board. Oh, hang on for the, there we go. While the presentation is coming up, we have representatives from Fowler Corporation as well as our engineer of record, HDR, in the room.
Thank you for being here this morning. Appreciate it very much.
Against the wall. Thank you for the introduction. This is an award of construction contract for the Diaz Sewer Modification Project. The location of the project is near the intersection of Winchester and Diaz Road in the city of Temecula. From the graphic, you can see our Warm Springs lift station, the Rancho California Water District Winchester Park lift station, which I'll reference in a little bit, the location of the end of our 15-inch sewer, the beginning of the 8, and ultimately the replacement area from that intersection down to the Diaz lift station. The goal of the project is to extend that 15-inch sewer to the Diaz lift station. This accommodates the final stage of growth in the Temecula area for this section, as well as supporting a flow exchange agreement with Rancho California Water District. The project in itself is a deep sewer construction, many, many utility crossings, including some large diameter storm drains, box culverts in the 8-foot by 10-foot dimension and 60-inch diameter drains. We've got some additional work on the force mains that are outside of the existing Diaz lift station. O&M has noted that we have some valves that are not functioning properly, so we'll be replacing those. There's two key challenges to the project. One is the extensive groundwater dewatering. The project is actually adjacent and parallel to Murrieta Creek, so in some instances it feels like we're going to be actually pumping the underflow of the creek, trying to keep it dry. In coordination with the city of Temecula, they have an upcoming paving project that they want to get to prior to the next rainy season. So through negotiation, we are going to be working two shifts during the entire length of construction. So we'll be running two crews back-to-back 5 days a week in order to accommodate those schedules and speed up our process. Extensive public outreach will happen in coordination with the city of Temecula and, you know, notifications of the public, since we will be closing the bike path along that route. We advertised in June of this year. We received three bids. After reviewing the bid packages, the lowest bidder asked to withdraw their bid due to a clerical error. Our third bidder failed to submit original bid bonds, leaving us with our number two bidder, who ultimately became the lowest responsive and responsible bidder, James Fowler Corporation, the amount of approximately $4.9 million. You'll note that the engineer's estimate was $8.6 million, three key overestimations by the engineering group. We were able to, through questions from the contractor, take a look at the treatment required for the groundwater dewatering, and in coordination with our ERC, Environmental Regulatory Compliance, we're able to come up with another option to take that flow without having to do extensive groundwater treatment for iron and manganese on that. They also overestimated the shoring system compared to the contractor's bid, as well as the bypass pumping required. Engineering services during construction. As I noted, HDR is our engineer of record, and we would like to continue the excellent work on the engineering for support during construction services. They were competitively selected for the design. They have several projects in the works with us and have performed outstanding for us in the past. Other support that we're going to need in agency coordination, the PRISM Group for surveying, Inland Foundation for geotechnical, and as I mentioned, the dewatering in the area is fairly extensive, so we've brought on some dewatering experts for support through Converse Consultants, and agency coordination, City of Temecula, as I noted, as well as Rancho California Water District, as they have a high-pressure recycled water line in Diaz Road near our construction. Our schedule, should the board approve the item today, we would issue notice to proceed immediately, and we're looking at approximately 1 year to complete all construction activities and close out the project. So our recommendation today is to approve a contract with James W. Fowler in the amount of approximately $4.9 million. Execution of contracts with HDR Engineering in the amount of approximately $122,000, a contract with Inland Foundation in approximately $100,000, administrative award of other necessary contracts to complete the project, and finally an additional appropriation of approximately $6.4 million, bringing the total project cost to just over $7 million. And that concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions the board might have.
Any questions on this item? Then I will look for a motion. Motion by Director Slauson. Would you like to second Director Armstrong? May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Passes 4-0 with Director Corona absent. Thank you again to our guests for being here. Mr. Stone, you're staying for a while, it looks like.
Yes, sir.
Item C is to approve and authorize award a contract with Christian Brothers General Engineering Incorporated for $2.3 million for the construction of the El Rancho Road Pipeline Project, an additional appropriation of $3.4 million.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to also introduce a member of Christensen's Brothers. He's here representing the contractor.
Thank you for being here this morning.
So thank you for the introduction on the item. The location, this is actually part of our leaky pipe replacement program, of which we had five phases. It's in the Sun City area of Menifee. And the purpose is to replace those pipes that have reached the end of their useful life and are beginning to exhibit an extraordinary amount of leakage. This actually eliminates community impacts. The El Rancho Road section has actually had three fairly large leaks on it that has impacted the residents. So these were actually part of our Phase 5 program. So we accelerated those and did a rush design to get those out so that we can avoid impact to the community any further. So the project overview, it replaces approximately 4,500 linear feet of pipeline along the three listed streets. The primary length will be along El Rancho Road. You can see in the lower right-hand corner photo the recent repair that was made due to one of the most recent leak. It's fairly substantial. You can tell by the size of the patch that it was a small gusher. So a summary of bids. We advertised on April 26th. We received 8 bids. 2 were deemed non-responsive. Christensen Brother was the lowest responsive responsible bidder in the amount of $2.3 million, slightly below the engineer's estimate. We had a nice clustering of bids, which showed a nice, clear understanding of the bid documents. Engineering services during construction. Ardura has been our partner for the project and has done many projects for the district. We asked them to provide a proposal for engineering services during construction to provide field engineering, submittal review, and other general needs. And then other services, geotechnical and survey, will be handled from our annual contract list from the on-calls. Our schedule, should the board approve today, we would issue the notice to proceed immediately and look to complete the projects in approximately 8 months. So our recommendation today is award of contract to Christensen Brothers in the amount of approximately $2.3 million, execution of a contract with Ardura in the amount of approximately $60,000, administrative award of additional necessary contracts to complete the project, and finally an additional appropriation of approximately $3.2 million, bringing the total project cost to approximately $3.4 million. And that brings me to the end of my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions the board might have.
Director Armstrong?
Yeah. Could you touch on how this is going to be communicated to those property owners that live in there, and will they be out of water?
Well, they will be communicated to door hangers. We will host some community meetings. We've been in heavy consultation with the city of Menifee. There will be slight times that they're out of water. The typical way we will build this project, we will construct the new pipeline in its entirety, have it tested and ready to go, and then move the individual houses over to the new pipeline. So it'll be a short time that they're actually out of water.
Right. Thanks.
What's the approximate age of the pipelines that we're replacing?
These are 1969, I believe.
Okay.
So original
well
to the Sun City community.
Years old. Okay. So obviously necessary, and obviously it's, as I always like to say, it's the responsible thing that we do that sometimes other cities and other organizations don't do, and you have major leaks and all sorts of problems I read about in the news. So I'm always thankful that we have a team who stays on top of these things. So, with that, Director Armstrong, would you like to make a motion?
Yeah, I'd make that motion.
Second by Director Slauson. I get a roll call vote, please.
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
That passes 4-0 with Director Corona absent. Mr. Stone, one more for you this morning to approve and authorize an award of contract with E.J. Meyer and Company for $3.4 million under specification 1483W for construction of the Paris Boulevard Transmission Main Project. Adopt proposed resolution approving the initial study mitigation negative declaration for the project and additional appropriation for the amount of $4.6 million.
Thank you for the introduction, and I'm pinch hitting today for my engineering manager, Greg Kowalski. Huh. So the project overview, this is actually located in the city of Moreno Valley along Paris Boulevard from Robin Lane to Hecock. Mm-hmm. What this project is doing, and it's actually in conjunction with several other projects in the area, is to improve conveyance and ultimately balance water tank elevations between the Casey Court tank and the new future Judson tank. The project itself is approximately 6,600 linear feet of 18-inch diameter PVC line. Mitigation impacts with every project. We do environmental looks, either an IS or a mitigative declaration, or in some cases an EIR. Mitigation will be required for this project in terms of the things that are listed, but all project impacts are overall less than significant after the mitigations are incorporated. Public review for the environmental, we had tribal consultation. Tribes did not reach out once through for that consultation or declined the consultation request. Our 30-day review period was listed from March through April. We sent the notice of intent to adopt the NOI and the press enterprise. We sent it to Riverside County, the state clearinghouse agencies, and the residents, and its document was available on our website and within the offices. We received 3 comment letters, one from Riverside County Flood Control and the State Water Resources Control Board and the Quenchin Tribe, which, interestingly enough, when we looked them up, are located in Yuma, Arizona, so we're not sure. But all comments did not reflect and change the CEQA findings. Their letter was actually, we have no comment. So our summary of bids, we advertised this on April 20th. We received 8 bids. E.J. Meyer, who's worked for the district for many, many years, and I'd actually like to take a chance to recognize them. We have a representative here.
Thank you for being here this morning, sir. Appreciate it.
We were chatting just before the meeting, and they've actually done work for about 50 years for us. So they are one of the original contractors who are supporting the district. So it's great to still have them as a long-term partner. Their bid came in at approximately $3.4 million, a little bit under the engineer's estimate. So support services during construction. Dudek Engineering was our designer of record. We'd like to continue engineering services with them through the construction for field engineering, submittal review, and other necessary services. Converse Consultant was our geotechnical engineer. Surveyor was Webb and Associates. And ultimately, because of, as referenced in the mitigation monitoring, we need to bring on some mitigation monitoring reporting help through Woodard and Caron. Our schedule, should the board approve it today, it's approximately 420 days long. We will be completing in roughly August of 2024. So our recommendation today is to adopt a proposed resolution for the Paris Boulevard project, initial study mitigated negative declaration, and the mitigated monitoring and reporting program, approve the project under those conditions, execution of a contract with E.J. Meyer Corporation for the amount of approximately $3.4 million, execution for engineering services and other services with Dudek for approximately $68,000, Converse for geotechnical services in the amount of approximately $85,000, surveying services with Albert Webb and Associates for approximately $25,000, Woodward Cron for environmental services in the amount of approximately $129,000, administrative award of other ancillary contracts necessary to complete the work, and finally an appropriation of approximately $4.7 million, bringing the total project cost to approximately $5.4 million. And that brings me to the end of my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions the board might
have. Any questions on this item?
No questions.
With that, I'll look for a motion and a second. Motion by Director Record. Second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
Passes 4-0 with Director Corona absent. Thank you, Mr. Stone. We'll move on to item E, which is to approve and authorize contracts with Kennedy Jenks Consultants for the Northern Wine Country Sewer of $418,000 and the Southern Wine Country Sewer for $888,000. For an appropriation of $1.5 million. Good morning, sir.
Thank you, President Pauly. Good morning, members of the board. Before I get started, I would like to introduce some guests. On behalf of Kennedy Jenks, we
have Ed Yang. Thank you very much for being here today, sir.
On behalf of Recon Environmental, we have Mike Page.
Thank you for being here this morning.
So by way of background, since 2010, the district has been collaborating with the County of Riverside and other stakeholders to extend sewer service into Temecula Wine Country in order to reduce the amount of septic systems in the area and also accommodate projected growth. In 2015, we completed the phase one of the Northern Wine Country Sewer, which included two lift stations and the necessary gravity sewer and forced main lines. In 2020, we completed the sewer phasing plan for the Southern Wine Country Sewer with its implementation contingent on available funding. In May of 2022, the Riverside County Board of Supervisors approved approximately $9 million in ARPA funding to advance the Northern and Southern Wine Country sewer projects. Once completed, these projects will extend sewer service deeper into Temecula Wine Country, reduce the amount of septic systems leaching into the region's groundwater, and accommodate economic growth in the area. The Northern Wine Country Sewer Project consists of approximately 14,000 linear feet of gravity sewer line. The Southern Wine Country Project is approximately 23,000 linear feet of gravity sewer line. Both projects will include service laterals to adjacent properties. This exhibit here shows the proposed alignment for the Northern Wine Country Phase 2 project, which will convey sewer flows from the highlighted area down to our existing Loma Ventosa lift station. This exhibit shows the proposed alignment for our Southern Wine Country Sewer, which will convey flows from both highlighted areas to our existing 15-inch line located within Temecula Parkway. In November of 2022, the board awarded a contract to Kennedy Jakes to provide preliminary design services for both projects. Based on their performance during preliminary design, staff requested and negotiated a scope and fee to provide final design services for the project. We find that Kennedy Jakes' proposal demonstrates their qualifications and ability to successfully complete both projects, get them through the bid and award phase. And we find that their fee is commensurate with the level of effort required. Their scope will include the necessary efforts required to get both projects through the bid and award phase. Staff also requested and negotiated a scope and fee with Recon Environmental to provide environmental support services for both projects. Recon's been involved with both projects since their beginning and has demonstrated their capability to assist the district with the development of environmental studies and technical documents. Should the board approve our recommendations this morning, we're looking to immediately execute final design services with a completion in March 2024. We're looking to start construction in August of 2024 with a completion date of January of 2026, which puts us ahead of the December 2026 deadline for ARPA funding. With that, our recommendations this morning are to execute a contract with Kennedy Jenks to provide final design services for the Northern Wine Country project in the amount of approximately $400,000. Execution of a contract with Kennedy Jenks for the Southern Wine Country project in the amount of approximately $890,000. Execution of a contract with Recon Environmental to provide environmental support services for both projects in the amount of approximately $98,000. Administrative award of ancillary contracts necessary to complete the projects. And an appropriation in the amount of approximately $1.5 million. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions on this? Seeing none, thank you very much for the presentation. Thanks to our guests for being here.
Thank you.
I'll look for a motion.
I'll move approval.
Moved by Director Slauson, second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
And that passes 4-0 with Director Corona absent. With that, we'll move on to item 6 on our agenda this morning, which is our informational items and presentations. We will start with the fiscal year 22-23 third quarter enterprise performance measures. Mr. Bates.
Good morning again. Morning, President Pauley, members of the board. My name is Matthew Bates. I'm the district's director of engineering support services. Before I begin, I wanted to take a play out of Thomas's playbook and say happy day after Independence Day. And to continue the celebration, today is Happy Apple Turnover Day. Not quite an apple pie, but close enough to follow Independence Day. With that, Nicole and I are pleased to present the fiscal year 2023 third quarter enterprise performance metrics. This is my first quarter involved with the metrics, and I just want to thank Nicole for her support and work on this effort and all the other departments for assisting us as well. These measures are important as they demonstrate the district's commitment to our community and operating with integrity and transparency. This slide represents a preview of the district's overall scorecard for all 12 of our measures over five categories of efficiency, reliability, service, safety, and financial performance. This quarter, five measures are on the watch list, as we'll note as we go through the presentation. Measures are placed on the watch list when two of the 3 months are below or outside of the goal. And with that, I'll turn it over to Nicole.
Good morning, Nicole.
Thank you, Matthew. Good morning, President Pauley, members of the board. I'm pleased to present the first six metrics to you. So the first measure is our water operating cost per acre feet delivered. And this measure looks at our various cost components for water operations relative to the amount of water deliveries. As you can see in the bar chart, The yellow indicates that we are above the acre-foot goal. The acre-foot goal is represented by the blue line, and it is refined to reflect seasonal demand. This quarter, you may recall that in the third quarter, beginning of this year, January through March, we had quite a bit of rain. And so as a result, we had much lower water deliveries. And with lower water deliveries, that increases the cost per acre foot. Additionally, what we're seeing is increased energy costs, increased chemical costs, as you've heard quite a bit before. And we're also seeing an impact from the cost of living adjustment in each of the service lines. As you recall, that adjustment was larger, much larger than it has been historically. And this graph shows our water deliveries as the blue line at the bottom. And you can see where in March we had, well, actually for January, February, and March, we had much lower water deliveries. Just to give you some perspective, we are down about 30% in water deliveries in January and February. And then in March, actually about 60% lower. The next metric is our wastewater treatment operating cost per million gallons treated. In the third quarter, we have two months that are above the goal. January is slightly above the goal. We see February is a bit higher. Our goal for this measure is a flat goal because we consistently treat the same amount of water on a daily basis. However, the costs are higher because, again, energy costs, as we saw in the water service line costs, we had a considerable gas increase in January, along with other energy costs, and then the chemicals as well, as you've heard. And we also see an impact from the COLA increase. Additionally, we're seeing higher sludge hauling costs, which resulted because of fuel costs, cost increases. Our next measure is the recycled water storage. And as expected with rainy weather, our recycled water storage is above our forecasted levels. So our forecasted level is represented by the blue line in the bar chart. And in February and March, you can see where we exceeded our forecast. And as you are aware, we were discharging water starting in January because of the excessive rain that we had, and we discharged into the Temescal Wash. That ended approximately in April, and it was approximately 7,800 acre feet total that was discharged over the quarter. And looking at our recycled water usage, as you may expect, third quarter, January through March, was extremely low due to the weather. Our next measure is the self-generated power. We continue to see strong production from our solar facilities, and we are trending above goal for the entire quarter. You will see a slight decline in March, and this is due to a mechanical issue with the microturbines. They were offline for a part of March. And I'm happy to say that the units are back online as of May. It took a little bit to get the those repairs done just because of a delay in receiving parts. Our next measure is the customer hours out of service. And for the third quarter, you will see we are above the 8-hour goal for each of the 3 months. So although we're outside of the 8-hour goal, it's important to note that our unplanned outages are below the 8 hours. And I believe that the unplanned hours truly represent our system reliability, which is what this measure is tracking. The planned outages represent the district's commitment to continuously improve our system infrastructure, as you know, discussed earlier. And these planned outages were communicated and coordinated in advance with our customers to minimize their inconvenience. So the next measure is our wastewater treatment reliability. This represents the system uptime for each of our treatment processes at the facilities. Our goal is to have a 98% uptime each month. And as you can see, each of the 3 months in the third quarter were above goal. And now I'd like to turn it over, back over to Matt.
Thank you, Nicole. Our next measure is our water and, wastewater spills within the collection and treatment facilities. This measure is important because it impacts compliance and regulatory requirements. The goal is to have less than 3 each month. In February and March, we're below goal. Below the threshold, as you can see. January, we had 3 spills. The 2 of those 3 spills, however, were caused by a developer's contractor. Their bypass pumping failed, which caused the 2 of those 3 spills to occur. Our next measure is customer satisfaction score. This measure is important because it highlights the district's focus, the district's efforts to remain focused on our customers and to meet their expectations. Quarter 3 is favorable, with 2 of the 3 months being above the goal. January was slightly below goal, as you can see. This was due to utility billing impacts when the rates straddle the fiscal year. The customers receive 2 line items on their bill, and it can at times be confusing. But fortunately, from that rebounded in February and in March. The next goal is our injury and illness rate. This metric is important because it identifies the district's focus on our total safety culture. The goal is to be less than 3 on a 12-month rolling average. As you can see, we are below the threshold of 3 and below the industry average of 4.9. The next measure is general and administrative cost as a percent of total operating cost. This measure is tracked on a 12-month rolling average and is important because it measures the non-allocated G&A cost to support the district's general administrative facilities and operations of the district. Q3 results are above the target of 11.6% for similar items as mentioned under the water and wastewater operating cost, things such as COLA, electricity, gas, security costs, and there were also fewer than anticipated retirements between December to January. The next item is the net operating margin, defined as revenues minus costs. This metric is important because if insufficient revenues are collected, the district's reserves would be impacted. The goal is refined to account for seasonal variations in revenue and operating costs. The Q3 results are favorable, with March being slightly below goal due to the rainy weather, as mentioned. Our last measure is the capital improvement program actuals to budget. This metric is important as it highlights the results of executing the planned capital improvement program.
The goal is to measure 75. The goal is to implement 75% of the forecasted $129 million capital program. The Q3 results are favorable and is currently at 77%. Although favorable, it is important to note that it's important to note that challenges in the bidding market resulting from inflation and supply chain issues, staff strategically delayed two large projects, the San Jacinto Groundwater Treatment Plant Facility and the San Jacinto Regional Water Reclamation Facility projects. Had both those projects advanced as originally planned, the estimated spend would be roughly $82 million with an 85% execution rate. So in summary, as you can see, there are five measures that are on the watch list. The next quarterly report will be presented in September, which will close out the fiscal year. And with that, Nicole and I are happy to answer any questions.
I have a couple questions. So we delayed those two projects. Is it in anticipation for a leveling out or a reduction in what contractors are going to charge?
So when the original plan was to bid three large projects kind of back to back, and as we were engaging the contractors, they had identified and suggested that we spread them out. With supply chain issues and the inflation market that we were seeing, the construction community couldn't provide the bidding support to attack those three large projects kind of in a row. And so we decided to spread them out, although the original planned $129 million accounted for them kind of in that back-to-back scenario. So when we delayed the bidding of those projects and then the ultimate award, that in turn then delays the spend, which is what we see in our execution rate.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Director Slauson, if I can add to that, with one of the projects, the San Jacinto Groundwater Treatment Facility, when we received the bids came in significantly higher than the engineer's estimate. So what we wanted to do is take a little bit of time to review the project scope and see if there's any way we can refine the scope, reduce certain elements. So we wanted to make sure we value engineer the project, that we're confident there's nothing else that we can reduce. So that's what the delay allowed us to do, is to go back and review the project scope in detail and try to refine it. Now, we're fortunate in that while we were doing that review, Supervisor Gutierrez stepped up and is now providing us with $3 million of ARPA funding to help us with that same project that we delayed.
Okay, I appreciate that. Another comment to Matt, and that is, we really need some fresh blood with Thomas's humor, so I appreciate you bringing that to the board.
I'm going to second that.
Yeah, okay. And I had a couple other comments. One, I guess, for Nicole. You talked about, let me ask the question. Those metrics that are financial, with this inflation, should we be, those bars that we're establishing as an average or a goal, should they go up 10%, or have we?
So I believe finance addressed some of that in the budgeting. So these financial metrics are based on the budget. So we're using the numbers, that were approved and, researched by the finance team.
So they should reflect an adjustment.
They should.
That's correct, Dr. Slauson. As part of the budget adopted by the board at the last board meeting, we've obviously made adjustments to our chemical costs, our energy costs, our labor costs. So what you'll see going forward, starting July 1st, is a new budget. So those goals will adjust based on the budget. That's correct.
Okay, and then the final thing, you mentioned the COLA increases and how that affects the budget. I was going to borrow from President Biden, who bragged that he provided under his administration the highest increase for Social Security recipients in over 40 years. Even though it's kind of caused by excess spending and inflation, at least partially. So this board should take credit for given the highest COLA increase in at least 50 years. So.
Feel free to take that.
Even though it's just keeping them par.
Well, on behalf of all employees, thank you.
Questions from board members? Seeing none, thank you.
President Pauly, I did want to add one more thing. In conversations with Director Armstrong, we were talking about the metrics, and I'll defer to Director Armstrong, but he brought up a good point that in addition to having goals that we measure ourselves, and often our goals that we establish, be it financial or otherwise, are actually more strict than industry goals. But I think the suggestion was, you know, we should, in addition to those goals that we have established, also show what is the industry, where we can. Not all metrics have industry standards. But I think one thing the team, both Nicole, Matthew, and others are going to be working on is the next time we bring this forward, hopefully, will not only show our goal, which is often more stringent, but how do we stack up relative to industry standards, whether it's cost, you know, per acre foot for treatment or otherwise. So where we can find industry standards, we'll reflect that. But I'm going to be presumptuous in saying that often our goals are a lot more strict than the industry goals. But we'll wait to see what the team comes up with.
Thanks. I did have one more question, one more comment, and that is we talked about the shutoff time, and at our last ops and engineering, Sean went through and described the methods, construction methods they use in order to really minimize the amount of time people are cut off from water. So I think we try very hard and do a good job.
All right. Thank you, both of you. Thank you very much. Great presentation. We will move on to item 7B. I'm sorry, no, 6B, which is the financial operating and capital highlights to the third quarter, and that's Mr. Adams. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, President. I saw someone do this earlier. All right, there we go.
Not only are you the CFO, you're also the maintenance guy.
Yes.
All right.
Double duty. All right. Let me just get my presentation. All right, good to go. So this is, as we talk about third quarter performance metrics, these are the finances behind those results for the third quarter for this current or prior fiscal year. Just to note, the fiscal year did close last week, and so the update on the fourth quarter will be provided to the board in September. So just quickly, really the same presentation topics as normal. I'm going to provide a quick overview at the high level on the enterprise and then go down into the service areas, water, wastewater, recycled water, provide a quick summary on capital and where we stand compared to budget, and then a summary. In addition to this presentation, we also have the actual financial report that was attached to the board agenda. So at the high level, just really going to the bullets to the right, overall revenues exceeded budget by 5.4%, and expenses were actually 9.1% under budget. But I'll cover the key drivers there. So just going into operating revenues, overall 2.2% under budget, really driven by water at 4% under, and Nicole even mentioned the sales, the lower sales in the third quarter drove the revenues be under budget. Expenses 9.2, and really that's being driven by purchase water from Met. With less sales, less purchase water from Met. What's driving revenue, the 5.4%, is really non-operating. So connection fees higher than budget. The budget is based on the 10-year. I do have a slide on connection fees, which I'll provide an update later in this presentation. Other highlights there, interest income higher. Certainly the rates have increased from, Fed funds of 0 to 0.25 up to, almost 5%. With that, also we saw increases in late fees from prior years because of the moratorium that we had, so that was above budget as well. Just looking at non-operating expenses, really just highlighting debt service was 15% under, just because of our conservative estimates on our variable rate debt. And then for pension, we did make our full pension additional contribution of $15 million in the first quarter, so that just shows you fully spent. Overall, net margin, net operating margin was better than budget. This did assist in fully funding our capital commitments for the third quarter, not drawing on reserves up to this point for this fiscal year. So jumping into water, as noted earlier, sales overall for the year, 6.3% below budget. At the end of the second quarter, that number was only 3.6, really driven by the drought. With the additional rainfall in the first quarter, budget actually 6.3% less, or 4,200 acre feet. You see the revenues down 4% under budget. Operating costs, though, 13%, really driven by less purchased water. To the right, you can just see domestic sales overall, $8 million, lower demand from the drought in July through November, and then large rainfall in December. Just looking at sort of the tiers, we actually saw decreases in both Tier 3 and Tier 4, 18% and 20%. So really, when you look at Tier 1, only a 1% decline to date, but really that benefited people in the Tiers 3 and Tier 4. And then just mentioning purchased water, 21% lower than budget, 18% less than prior year. Just quickly on the numbers, you can see the 4% for revenues down, and then the operating costs down 13.2. But really on the operating costs, you see that 21% on purchased water down. As noted earlier, energy up, we can see it 7.5% above budget. So overall, the water service, water fund, under on revenues, but better on the operating costs as far as under. Moving on to wastewater, treatment flows are up. I think in the second quarter of last year it was 40, or this fiscal year, 49.1, so 49.7. Wastewater is really consistent year to year, going quarter over quarter. You can see it really tight there, only $4 million above budget, or 0.4%. Operating expenses, 2.1% under budget, very tight there as well. As you'll see, though, really savings that is occurring in wastewater is really related to labor. You can see treatment cost about $1 million lower than budget. That's really driven by vacancies in labor. Nicole mentioned earlier energy and chemicals. We have been expressing this to the board really over the last 18 months, the costs that we have seen go up significantly. Energy 23% higher, and then chemical costs, you can see 38% higher than prior year. So pretty significant in those two areas for us. Wastewater, again, you see the 0.4% on, over on revenues, and then 2.1%, very tight. Just looking off to the right, you can see, though, on the expense side, 8.7% higher than last year. Again, driven by energy. You also see sludge hauling there, 12% higher than prior year. So on recycled water, sales because of the rain, 10% below budget as far as acre feet sold. Revenues were only 2.2% under budget. Again, the undersale was more on the ag, and the sales with non-ag very consistent from prior years. That's where the higher rates are. Overall operating costs below budget, 2.5%. So very tight there as well on recycled water. Just some key highlights, transmission expenses, just some unplanned repairs. Of about $80,000 had an impact of it going over budget by 8.8%. And then storage expenses is where we capture discharge cost. Discharge through March, 6,500 acre feet. This is in comparison to prior year, which we had zero discharge. So really, that's really the driver as far as additional costs there. And again, just very briefly, 2.2% under on the revenues, 2.5% under, very tight as far as the same net margin that was projected. Going into reserves, tracks very similar to prior years, only $5 million higher at this point as compared to last year. We always do see an increase in June and then a decrease in September. This is because we have some large payments, specifically debt service and some other one-time costs that we see in the first quarter of the new fiscal year. So really still in good shape, $673 million in overall reserves. So connection fees, this slide is actually through April 30th. I just saw today's numbers for June. And although we show 11% decline from prior year on EDUs, you see the 11%, actually this year's final number was 3% higher than last year. So one of our highest years last year, and it's 3% higher than the period ending June. As far as budget, 70% higher at the end of June. Here I'm showing 47%. On EMSs, 21% here through April, but through June it was 11% below prior year. And for June on the actuals compared to budget, 33%. So we still see connection fees actually strong fourth quarter, mainly in May and June. So still a lot of, as we talked about, growth in our service area continues.
Could I jump in?
Yes.
Remind me, our new connection fee rates, did that come in with the new fiscal year, or is that going to be the calendar year?
It's calendar year. Calendar. So we adjust it every calendar year by the ENR, so whatever the construction cost index is. And so that will be coming to the board in November, December for the approval.
Thank you for clarifying.
Just in a note, because this did come up during the rate presentation, connection fees are restricted and really is there to fund a lot of our capital as expansion related. So as those revenues are coming in, anticipated future growth, those funds are then used to build that infrastructure for our system. All right, quickly on capital, and it's just a one-page summary on at least the CIP. Overall, when you compare year-to-date spent to the overall budget, it's 57%. This is different than, as we talked about, the adjustments that are done based on cash flow. It's just simply the full budget of $129 million compared to what we spent, which is almost $74 million. Of that $74 million, a little over $5 million is external funding. And then operating fixed assets, 25% spent year to date. Highlight the number of 42% is committed. As the board is aware, we've had significant supply chain impacts and delays in deliveries. I know with the approved budget, staff, even before the budget went into effect on Saturday, they have already made orders for this coming year. So they are trying to get ahead of that in order to spend as much as possible for next year. And so really the summary, overall, the district is in a strong financial position. Revenues, again, driven by connection fees and some other non-operating, is higher than budget. Expenses lower, 9.1%. Talked about water revenue, 4%. But again, just from the less sales and really offset by water purchases. Wastewater, very consistent. This goes quarter over quarter, very close on revenue target at 4% above. And then operating expenses, 2.1%. Recycled water, again, very tight. Connection fee revenue, at least through the third quarter, is 36% above budget. Will be significantly higher when we talk to you in the fourth quarter in September. And then overall, we always talk about our external funding, $5.2 million for this past year so far. With that, I'm available for any questions of the board.
Any questions? Seeing none. Thank you. Great report. Appreciate it very much. We will now go on to item 7, which is to receive and file two reports. I will make a motion to do so, seconded by Director Slauson. Am I going to roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Director Record?
Aye.
And that passes 4-0 with Director Corona absent. That will take us to our calendar review.
Good morning, President Pauly and members of the board. I will be going over your three-month calendar review. And on page 1, we have a new, not-so-new event to go over. The Jameel Dada Character Excellence Youth Awards has been rescheduled from July 14th to August 4th. If the new date works for you, for those that had confirmed attendance, please let me know and we will put that on your calendar.
If you could put me down for that, that'd be great.
You got it. Moving on to page 2, the Boardmaster calendar for the next 2 weeks is listed. Please take your time and review your meetings, and if there's any changes or adjustments that need to be made, please let me know. On page 3, we have a few events to go over. On Friday, August 11th, the BIA's Southern California Water Conference will be held in Ontario. On Wednesday, August 23rd through Friday, August 25th, the Urban Water Institute Annual Conference will be held in San Diego. And on Saturday, September 9th, the Science Under the Stars event will be taking place in Hemet. The flyers for all three events are included at the back of your packet. Please let me know if you would like to attend any of these events, and I will add them to your calendar. The board meetings and committee meetings are on schedule for the next 3 months. And then moving on to page 4, the joint interagency meetings are on schedule. Just a reminder again that the August 9th joint meeting with Elsinore Valley has been rescheduled, and it will be held at 3:30 p.m. The district's out-of-office holiday schedule is Monday, September 4th for Labor Day holiday. And if there's anything else?
I'd like to attend the Excellence in Character.
I will add you. Okay. If there are no other...
Thank you very much. With that, we'll go to Director's attendance reports, and we'll start with Director Armstrong.
Okay. June 27th, the standing committee meetings at Metropolitan. Our general manager talked about, you know, the main one. We had another workshop that was noteworthy as well. We had a workshop on framework for ethical decision making, and we had someone from UC Santa Clara, where they have an institute there on ethical decision making, come and tell us about a framework for that and tools and stuff. So I thought it was very interesting and very educational. And then on June 28th, I had the opportunity to tour the Colorado River Aqueduct housing facilities, both at Gene Camp and at Iron Mountain. Those facilities are pretty old, and the housing is pretty old. And so there's a goal of getting as many directors out there to take a look at it before ultimate decisions are made on how to update those, what the plan is. And they definitely need updating. Some of them are in some pretty bad shape, but that was very interesting and educational. I've never been out to those facilities before. And June 29th, I had a good monthly update with our general manager. And that's it.
All right. Thank you very much. As Joe mentioned, we had a very good joint water resiliency meeting, and I'm very pleased at the progress that is being made there. I'm a big believer in doing something regionally here, and I know it's a long process with a lot of steps involved, but I always feel we're incrementally making progress on that, and so really do appreciate staff work. I know that's where the real work is done on this, and I also congratulate our consulting team on this. I think is also excellent. So, and that's just not me. I got a lot of feedback at WRCOG with a lot of other participants about that. So the WRCOG annual meeting was very good. Chris Barajas, who is a member of the Rupa Valley City Council, was voted in as the new chair of WRCOG. Also to note on that, though, the second vice chair voted in was Brenda Dunstead of Western. So I think 15 years after the water industry or water districts of Western Eastern getting involved in WRCOG, we now have someone from the water community who is on a path to be chair of WRCOG. So I just want to say that I do believe our participation in that regional governance group has paid off over the years with our a lot of participation in our water education meetings and just really having a footprint there. So anyway, and a good guest speaker, Doris Kern's good one, who was a presidential historian. The next morning we had the reconvened executive committee with our new chair, and just an interesting speaker, which was a cybersecurity expert from the FBI that did a really good presentation on cybersecurity from governmental agencies, and kind of walked through, I don't know if everyone follows this, but recently San Diego Sheriff's Department got hacked into and how that upset that system for a good five days. And they ended up paying a ransomware on that. So it was a very interesting presentation, made me feel how good I feel about this organization being on top of that and having Mike Malone. And I don't think – I walked away from that thinking we probably cannot spend enough money or reasonable amount of money being secure, because he mentioned the gentleman from the FBI about, you know, water districts being, because it's such critical infrastructure, how we get targeted all the time because it's kind of easy pickings and something you don't want that system hacked into. So just was a real reminder of all the good work that we do here. That's it for me. Director Slauson.
Yes, I had a meeting with our general manager. The omelet was really good, and we talked about just general district operations. The Marina Valley Wake Up meeting, they had a representative from a foreign trade zone company and had updates from the city and from the school district, sponsored by Riverside Medical Clinic. And then I met with Corrine Awad. She's with the Riverside University Health System Foundation to discuss the wellness garden they're proposing. To me, it looked very promising, and I guess they're going to meet with April next, or sometime this month, later this month. And they'd like us to participate, not only financially, but also probably with design and, plaques and descriptions for water conservation and contacts. Maybe have a scan so you could contact and get direct information from our website.
Very good. That, do we have any director's comments or future agenda items? See none. I understand we have no need for closed session.
That's correct, Mr.
Chair. All right. With that, we will stand adjourned until Wednesday, July 19th at 9 a.m. Thank you, everyone.